This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezriel. It is a very, very rainy evening for those out there who are driving. Please drive safe. I know some of you are heading back to your hometowns, heading back to see people you've not seen in a long time, so I hope you get there safely. In the meantime, our next story is about zoos and how much it costs to maintain them. So zoos are reopened now. You can start visiting one already. Lately, though, there's been an image of a malnourished lion that's been circulating on social media, allegedly taken in Zoo Negara. So we can't verify if that image is real or not, and we've yet to hear back from the zoo's management to verify that image. But I guess something that has been in the news of late is Zoo Negara's financial struggles. And this has been because of a significant drop in ticket sales, and as well as the MCO came in, people just couldn't go there. So they have been managing to get through with donations. And in April, the management said that they had to actually dig into emergency funds that would last them for about 3 months before they were out of cash.
Yep. But luckily, as reports emerged of its dire finances, donations poured in from the public, the government, and the private sector. It came in the form of food cash, as well as via the National Zoo's Adopt an Animal campaign. For example, the government gave 1.3 million ringgit, a food delivery service, donated 200,000, and so on, which was enough to get the zoo through the month.
Running a zoo isn't cheap. Food and medication for the animals at the National Zoo costs 400,000 ringgit a month or 4.8 million ringgit a year. The zoo revealed that the animals' maximum consumption daily could reach up to 400 kilograms of fish and meat, 300 kilograms of leafy vegetables, 50 kilograms of legumes. So that list goes on. And they also have to pay their full-time staff of 150 people.
So I don't know about you, but I'm not, just looking at animals in cages and the image that's been circulating on Twitter. I haven't gone to zoos in a while because I can't really stomach them. Unless I guess if there's some sort of program to reintroduce them into the wild, which I think gets lost sight of. But, looking at Zoo Negara, I think last year they already had issues, apparently not with feeding the animals and paying their staff, but issues of upgrading, right? And I think that's a lot of, that's part of the issue that people have been looking at when it comes to Zoo Negara, that they've covered the basics so far in terms of feeding the animals, but they could do better with some of the upgrading the facilities and making it more not just presentable but more comfortable, maybe more spacious for some of the animal enclosures. It's a sort of kerfuffle. I think there's a lot of things to look at, and I'm not sure where they are right now. It'll be interesting. I wish they could have responded to us to give us a better understanding of what's going on, because that's the thing. Even though it is a private zoo, I think I brought this up to you earlier today. It is Zoo Negara, right? It's representative of our national image, and I think everything should be done to save it.
You're right. I guess on a tourism level, if you look at some of the spots they as like a tourist destination to visit, Zoo Negara is listed as one. And sometimes it in the past when we talked about it, it's come up as a sore point where, well, that zoo just isn't great, And then, of course, then you draw comparisons to the one in Singapore or even the one in Taipei, for example, right? It's like, whoa, okay, look at that disparity.
Right.
People visit Kuala Lumpur, they come here and they see that zoo and like, oof.
Yeah, I must say that when I was younger, like six, I did visit the Singapore Zoo, and I enjoyed that experience. See, when I see animals kept in, I think, comfortable looking conditions, when the facilities are clean, I think it speaks volumes about how much the staff and management care about the animals and And, you know, image is not everything, but sometimes when it comes to Zoo, I think it's fair to judge it by its cover.
Yep. You can let us know what do you think about Zoo Niagara right now. Are you planning to visit any zoo anytime soon? You can let us know. Call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Kevin Lazarus, Director of Zoo Typing and Night Safari. Stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is almost 7:14 on the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezriel, and we're talking about how much it costs to run and maintain a zoo. After pictures of a very skinny lion are circulating, allegedly in Zoo Niagara, we are still waiting to hear back from the management to see whether that image is true or not. But in the meantime, we're going to find out what it takes to run a zoo. We're now crossing over to Dr. Kevin Lazarus, Director of Zoo Typing and Night Safari. Dr. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
So the main reason we're talking to you today is about the online conversations regarding Zoo Niagara, of the pictures, apparently, of a lion looking malnourished. What's your take on this image and the response it has received?
Actually, I'm caught off guard. I've not seen that image yet. I was just informed just a short while ago that there was some issue on this. But generally, what we do, I'm also the chairman of the Malaysian Association of Zoological Parks and Aquariums. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, if there is a valid complaint, if it comes to us, we will send our team to go and have a look, have an inspection, of course, to first and foremost see whether it's true or not. And then we will follow up with some recommendations. That's what we normally do if there's any complaint regarding any zoo in the country.
Right. So one of the biggest issues brought up is, of course, money. How much does it typically cost to actually run a zoo?
Well, it varies. You know, it varies depending on the size of the zoo and what kind of species of animals that are kept at the zoo. And of course, again, the manpower, the staffing power. So if a zoo has many large animals, of course, feeding cost goes way high. It will be high. And then again, it depends on which city or town the zoo is located. Cost of buying animal feed and all that. So that varies between the various parks that are around this country.
Right. And for Taiping Zoo, where do the bulk of financial resources go to?
Okay. The main cost factors for zoos will be human resource and feed costs. So that is quite typical, except for, say, butterfly parks or insectariums where they have a lot of insects. Their food cost may be much lower, but of course the staffing manpower will be high because they need to have a lot of staff to look after the food plants and after the insects and all that. So food costs will be a bit smaller for such parks. But for the bulk of main zoos, feed costs and of course staffing salaries, and secondary will be the maintenance, the utilities and all that, and for capital development. If you're going to upgrade the zoo or improve on facilities or exhibits within the zoo, then that will involve some cost. But in terms of operation, basically will be manpower and animal feed costs.
Right. And how expensive actually can animal feed get on a monthly basis? If you were to give us a ballpark figure.
Ballpark, I can give you an example. For Taiping, our food cost per day is about 5,500 ringgit a day. So a month is about 150,000-160,000 a month, just on food alone, just the feed bill. So that's roughly our cost. So depending on the number of species and the number of large animals that the zoo has, then that cost can vary higher or lower.
Right. So talk to us about what the factors are that drive the success of a zoo.
Okay. The important thing now is that the zoo should display animals in as natural as possible, exhibits as possible, and try to emphasize on the roles of the zoos. You know, the philosophy of that zoo has to be about education and conservation. Research and training also are important, as it is as a place for recreation. So, but if you get the main philosophy right, that the zoo is for education and for conservation, the recreation part will fall in. So, end of the day, what people want to see at the zoo are animals that appear to be happy, inverted commas, that they are happy to be there. So if they are in naturalistic exhibits with all the proper requirements for their physical and psychological needs, the diets are taken care of, and they're breeding successfully, then you create happy animals. And when people, visitors come to the zoo, they also will feel happy to look at the animals.
Mm. And having said that, what are some of the biggest challenges?
Operations is, of course, a challenge in terms of getting enough funding to operate the zoo. And of course, to maintain your manpower, your staffing, and all the operational expenses required for maintenance, for animal feed costs, and so on. And again, there has to be continuous improvements within the park, so that you have something changed, something new, some improvements done that keeps visitors coming again and again. Every time you do some improvement, of course, it will attract more visitors. And then if you have a breeding success, if you are successful in breeding or doing some conservation work, that also can drive the interest of the visitors to come back to the zoo. So to maintain your animals, give them the best welfare possible, and to have enough publicity and promotion to get visitors to continue coming to the park. In that way, that will keep your operations going.
Right, so Taiping Zoo specifically has been cited as one of the zoos in Malaysia that's getting it right. What would you attribute that to?
I'll go back to the basics on the philosophy of the zoo itself. Our main objective is for conservation and for education. But the most important thing is to display animals in as natural-looking exhibits as possible and to uphold the highest standards of animal welfare. Then the animals are looked after well, they are healthy, the diets and their medical sides are taken care of. So if you create that environment, that will create happiness for people when they come to see animals looking like as if they are free. Of course, there's some kind of barriers that are hidden. To say, for example, the gibbons, they're on islands. If you don't see the water mode, you think they are free, actually, you know. So they appear to be happy and free. Of course, we also have a lot of actual free-ranging birds and other wildlife, like leaf monkeys, you know, that live within the compounds of the zoo. We have released milky stock, which is a highly endangered species, which we are breeding. And we have established a free-flying flock within the zoo, which, of course, they go outside to the lake gardens, and then they come back in and all that. So that itself creates an environment that is very conducive for wildlife. So this kind of thing actually are attractive to people.
Hmm. Now, Taiping Zoo is government-owned. Talk to us about the differences between a government and a privately-owned zoo.
Okay. Privately-owned zoo, again, depends on whether it's owned by an individual or a large company or a society. And as compared to a government zoo, of course, it can also be a local government, a state government, or federally-owned. But in Peninsula Malaysia, at least, there are no federally owned zoos. They are basically state-owned or municipal. So Taiping is owned by the municipality. And of course, the advantage of being owned by the government is that we can also get funding from the government for our development and all that. So in that sense, it's helpful. And also, staff are all government servants. So basically, it's a more of a stable job in terms of that job security. But to get funding and all, we of course still have to apply to the federal government. But the ability to do what we need is of course much easier.
Right. So something that's been on my mind when it comes to zoos is about how the animals get there in the first place. How does Taiping Zoo do it?
I see. Okay. Acquisition.
Yes.
Okay. It depends. Most of the time, it's between zoos, exchanges between zoos. If there's a zoo that has some animals which is considered surplus, then they might offer or there might be some exchange. There are incidences where there are confiscations. which cannot be released back to the wild for any particular reason, those may become available. So you still have to apply for permits to acquire them. That is also within the country. And also there are sometimes confiscations done outside the country. You know, some animals are being smuggled somewhere for some whatever reason, for consumption or something, and they get stopped by the customs. So some of them are repatriated or they are offered by the rescue centers. So those are possible sources for acquisition. Other than that, it's basically we try to breed our own animals. So we try to breed so that we can sustain the population for long period of time.
And on a related note, the government has now allowed zoos to reopen. What has the process been like for you?
Okay, of course, we have been shut since the 18th of March. And we got the announcement 2 days ago that we can reopen. So we are preparing and we will reopen Taiping Zoo on the 15th of June. But in the meantime, of course, while the zoo was shut down, we were doing our own stuff. The animals were looked after well and all that. And we are preparing now, already prepared now for visitors to come. So we got to do extra procedures for screening visitors before they go into the zoo. So we have our guidelines following the SOPs prepared by the MKN, which includes visitors have to wear masks and then they have to register and we have to take the temperature and all the normal procedures and the social distancing and availability of hand sanitizers around the zoo compound, all of these things we have prepared. So Monday we will start allowing people to come. So it has been, you have to have a bit more manpower to do all these things, extra things that we have to do.
On that note, Dr. Kevin, thanks again for speaking to us.
All right, thank you.
That was Dr. Kevin Lazarus, director of Zoo Taiping and Night Safari, talking to us about how much it takes and what it takes to run a zoo.
Yeah, and I think that was a reassuring conversation. I think one thing that did it for me when we were before the interview was Tiger King. I think just ruined zoos for me, and it's and I think it's very important to remember that there are you know, zookeepers and people out there trying to do a lot of good. And as Dr. Kevin said, it's nice to hear that animals who are being smuggled are you know, stopped midway and you know, get a much better future.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the very principle and what the zoo preaches and practices is what is key if we do choose to visit one.
For sure.
You can let us know. Are you planning on going to a zoo soon? What would you like to see, especially with Zoo Negara? What would you like to see improve? You can let us know. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have some music. It's Islands by The XX. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.